CPA Mobile.
CPA, Kilo, Victor 4, Victor Tango, 85 northbound. How are you?
I'm kind of wore out here. I'm just leaving the sports club. I played an hour and a half of tennis, so I'm about done.
To a day.
While it lasted, did you say you were on I-85?
Yep, heading up to Lexington, North Carolina. Coming up from Lawrenceville, Georgia, and exit 60 here right now. And I just heard the repeater. I'm just trying to chat up whatever I can chat up on the way up.
Last part of that is my fault. I stopped in a, had to stop for a traffic light, and I stopped right in a dead zone. I thought I had the repeater, but I didn't.
Just fine every time I've heard you. But anyway, no, I was just saying I was heading to Lexington, North Carolina from Lawrenceville up here, heading northbound, and I've just been scanning what repeaters are online, at least as far as I can tell. And this was good and strong, and you're hitting it fine.
Just, you know, I was in kind of a bad place there anyway, but normally, you know, I can hit this repeater. It's just when you're mobile, if you just stop in the wrong spot, sometimes it can just completely drop out. That's just the way it is.
It's fascinating. I had the same thing happened down in Georgia. We've got a lot of repeaters down there, and does seem to be a lot of different effects that are happening, different echoes and different things that seem to block and shield a signal. But anyway, I won't hold you. Just thought I'd try to see what I could hit here. I'm running an ICOM ID 5100, 5/8 antenna on top of the roof, and just enjoying it.
Still, I've got an ICOM 2730 here. It's 2 meter 440, and I'm using a diamond dual bander on the trunk, and so that's all I've got here in the car.
Excellent antennas. That's what I've got on the roof as well. And those ICOMs, boy, do they sound good. Yours is excellent. Very good audio. Very good deviation. Very easy to understand in a mobile environment. A lot of people don't seem to understand that. Their mic technique leaves a lot to be desired, but yours is right on target. So anyway, just thought I'd let you know. I'm going to a down spot, so I may lose you.
Well, you're sounding good so far. So where did you say you were headed?
Lexington, North Carolina. And got a ham friend up there who's needs some help, so I'm going to go up there and give him a hand with a few projects. I'm coming from Lawrenceville, so to Lexington, North Carolina, from Lawrenceville.
Lawrenceville, Georgia, Wilmington, North Carolina.
Lexington, L-E-X-I-N-G-T-O-N, Lexington, North Carolina.
Okay, Lexington. So you can just stay on 85 the whole trip.
It's a nice little drive. It's about 250 some odd miles, about four and a half hours. Done it a couple of times, and I was going to head out earlier, but I got tied up, so I ended up leaving later than I wanted to, but it's very pleasant. I've got enough sunlight. It's just starting to get dark here. I guess it is sunset now, but I've got a couple more hours to get before I can, I've got ETA at about 9:40. So, but anyway, it's nice repeaters. So whoever's doing it, my thanks to them.
Some by the Greenville Amateur Radio, Blue Ridge Amateur Radio Society, and it's up on Caesar's Head at about 3,500 feet, and it has a good range.
Quality, you can certainly hear it in the way it's been adjusted and the audio levels are growth and everything, so I'm very impressed. And so anyway, I'm wondering if I'm still hitting or am I starting to get a little bit of picket fence.
Well, it's hard for me to tell because where I'm at right now, it's kind of in and out on this road anyway.
like I said, didn't want to tie you up. Sound like you're pretty exhausted after a long day, and glad you were able to get out there and stretch the muscles and hit the tennis ball or whatever. So with that, I'll say 7-3. I'm just going to be heading 85 north here. I'm at exit 66 now. Anybody else on the repeater want to chat, I'll be here. I've got my scanned, I got these programmed in, so I'll be scanning all the repeaters in this area coming up 85. So anybody want to be around, I'll be here. Anyway, this is KV4VT, Kilo Victor 4, Victor Tango, 85 northbound, and I'll be monitoring this wonderful repeater.
You have a safe trip, and you'll be going through, if you haven't already, you're going through some construction in Spartanburg County, and then it's, I think it's pretty much smooth sailing from there on out. I could be wrong, but as far as I know, it is. Anyway, have a good one, and I'll talk to you later. 73 KB4CPA Mobile.
KB4VT, I believe it was, KN4CHY. The key up, but I didn't quite get you. I was going to say you can about catch this repeater border to border, you know, through South Carolina here, probably actually a little beyond on both ends, 85 there over.
VT, was that directed at me?
I tried to give you a call, and I heard a key up, but then it dropped. That might not have been you.
No, it was. I heard the tail end of what you were saying, and I didn't know if it was directed at me, and I didn't want to be presumptuous, but I want to make sure I can still grab the repeater. But, yeah, name here is Chuck, Charlie Hotel, Uniform Charlie, Kansas. I'm out of Lawrenceville, heading north on 85. What a great repeater this is.
Name here is Keith, Kilo Echo India Tango Hotel, and I'm in Seneca, so I'm just not far off of the Georgia-South Carolina border. So I'm a good ways over and hit it pretty regular. And, yeah, like I said, you can pretty much carry this repeater probably on the other side of the South Carolina border on both ends of 85. Over.
Your audio is also quite excellent. It's so good to be in a mobile environment and to actually hear the person talking. Good microphone technique, great audio. Wow. I don't know what kind of radio you're running, but it's doing great for you.
To hear, because I do have a problem with mic cables on this one from time to time, but this is a Kenwood D700. It's a really nice radio, but I need to get some work done on it.
What's on your audio as best I can tell, and of course that legendary Kenwood audio quality. My goodness, yeah, I should have known. Very, very good. And I've been battling this in the Atlanta area. It seems like we've got a whole nest of mumblers down in the Atlanta area. People who just don't speak up. They mumble and they're way down in the dirt. And of course, then the ID comes up and it blasts your ears out.
I'm running a mobile radio, but I am stationary. I use it as a base unit. I've got an old junker car that I don't want to. I tell you, this radio is probably worth more than the car. It's just something I bought to drive back and forth to work, and that's all I use it for. So, yeah, don't want to put a high dollar radio in the car. Over.
But of course, you know, that just adds to the quality of the drive when you have a really nice radio. It doesn't have to be a great one. I'm amazed now. I mean, you can get some pretty good, dual banders for relatively cheap, and even on eBay. I'm amazed what's out there. I mean, I'm not going to go do the Chinese stuff. I'm just not going to do that. But even if it's, Taiwan or Japan, you can still find some good stuff that's non-Chinese.
I haven't checked lately. I wish they would do an updated version of this one. Last I looked, they didn't have anything. So, but yeah, I'm looking at. I'm trying to squeeze 300,000 miles out of this car. It's about time to do something. I've had to put a little money in it, patching it up here lately, and. We've been needing another vehicle anyway, so probably about ready to do something. And I'll tell you that Icon 5100 that you're running, that's kind of intrigued me for a mobile rig too.
Be darn picky. I'm an engineer, and so I'm really picky. And boy, this radio has not disappointed me in any shape, form, or fashion. I made the mistake of selling mine a while back. I had a similar situation. The car I had it in, it was a Volvo, and it died. It just died. And I kept it, took it out of the car, but never felt like I should put it back into a lesser car. Finally got a decent car to put it in. But I sold it in the meantime, so I went and bought another one. And I'm going up to Lexington to help a friend put in a 5100 in his car. So, you know, I love Kenwood, I love Yaesu, I love them all. I try to be agnostic, but I got to tell you, the 5100 is the cat's meow.
I'm pretty agnostic too, but I've kind of grown to love this Kenwood, and I've always liked Icons too. I've got a 7300. I've also got a Yaesu. I've got an 857D that's a pretty decent radio, but I don't. I got it thinking I'd do portable use with it, and I haven't done much portable stuff since I got it. I got it right as the pandemic hit, so wasn't a lot of getting out and about then. Over.
Well, you know, I got a lot more busy on not only on FM and VHF, UHF, but also got really busy on HF because of COVID. FT4, FT8, digital mode stuff. Just really enjoyed getting out there and using it. And I think ham radio was a godsend for a lot of folks.
And I probably, if I wasn't working full-time, I'd probably do more of that, just getting out and, like, you know, not really doing parts on the air, but kind of emulating the parts on the air. Just go out somewhere and set up and operate. That's always intrigued me. I'm just a few years from retirement, so I'm kind of looking forward to doing that kind of thing. Over.
I admire those folks who are doing the POTA stuff and the SOTA summits on the air, and the Belota beer lovers on the air. I mean, they got every kind of OTA there is, and I joke about that. They all love it, and I love it too because it gets people talking on the air. The biggest shock for me, Keith, has been coming up here from Georgia into South Carolina. I've fired up every repeater I can find, and you are, I think, about the second conversation I've had. It's a big crickets chirping on a lot of these repeaters.
I found the same thing. I just got back from Baton Rouge, kind of blurred days, but I think, Monday night. And I had a couple of repeaters programmed in there on the HT, you know, walking around, and had them on, and not a peep the whole time I was there. I didn't get much time to try to raise somebody, but, you know, as we were walking around, I had it in my back pocket, and turned up to where I could have heard somebody if they came in, but never heard a peep.
That's an existential issue, I'm afraid, for the VHF, UHF value proposition for repeaters in general. We don't do something about that, I think, going to be in a position where we may lose some of this. I don't know. I don't know anything. I'm not connected with SEC or anyone else. I just know that we got more repeaters than Peters.
Sure, that's a good way to look at it. I noticed when I hadn't been in the hobby long. I was licensed in 2017, and was really intrigued with everything and started looking into repeater stuff. And it's like, buying repeaters and the cans, and more often than not, the barrier, I guess, is probably tower space. You know, unless you can get hooked up with somebody, that's I can imagine that would be difficult to do.
Yep, no doubt. There are alternatives. You can use multiple, you know, receivers, multiple transmitter sites, link them up. There's a lot of, you know, digital stuff you can do. But even if you're just regular FM, I mean, but that gets expensive. But, yeah, that's been a problem. I've got a couple of people in ham clubs across Georgia that I know who have lost their repeater because they couldn't, they got bounced off of the tower. These towers sometimes, management on those towers change, and they may have had a former relationship with the people who managed the towers, but then when that changed, suddenly the guy who runs it isn't a ham, and he isn't going to give a ham club a good spot on there. And I had a couple of clubs that literally they went up with lopping shears and just lopped off the antennas and the twin ax or the coax or whatever they were using there, that firm stuff, and very expensive loss.
That's just the kind of thing I was thinking about too, because I know some folks around this area that do have, you know, I guess you could call it peering agreements, to where they don't pay anything or very little for tower space. But if you ever lose that, you know, and like the situation you're talking about where it changes ownership and management, then, you know, that's suddenly valuable space on that tower.
Absolutely. And also, yeah, out in California, of course, where everything is fruity, nutty, and flaky, people who have had rather nice positions on top of mountains in California are suddenly finding that they're having to undergo all kind of scrutiny and pay all kind of fees for environmental impacts and everything else.
Pretty rough. I've been out there for work, and it's pretty impressed around the L.A. area. They've got that PAPA system. You know, it's DMR, and they do have analog repeaters, too. But you could pretty much get coverage, but I can imagine it's probably a hefty price to pay to get that kind of coverage over.
And the sad part is that the old days of, you know, the mom and pop who can sort of, you know, run their own repeater out of their backyard or, you know, up in their attic or whatever, much harder and harder to do, because obviously frequencies are in harder, a bigger demand, and there's, you know, a lot of crowding happening on the 2-meter side anyway, but still plenty on 440.
Now, around here, you can get to altitude a lot easier than you can most places, too, and I think that's part of the problem in Louisiana. It's just a flat out there. You know, the highest point in Louisiana is probably, you know, like, or in Baton Rouge, is probably like 10 feet. So you've got to have a good tower to get any kind of coverage out of it, and most of them are on, you know, like broadcast towers and that sort of thing.
North Georgia has a lot of mountains, so it's wonderful in North Georgia. South Georgia is very flat. So, yeah, they have the same problem down in North Georgia, South Georgia, rather. They've got a couple of repeaters down there that are on top of very tall TV antennas. So, yeah, if they can get a cooperation with the TV station engineers or whatever, a lot of them turn out to be hams, and so that can be helpful. But not in all cases. And a lot of these cell phone towers that maybe in previous years the managers were hams, those guys have retired, so it's much harder to find those kind of cozy relationships. And that's sad, but yeah, I think there has to be some innovation in repeaters in general. We've got to do something to make it, to incent people to use and to leverage these better than we do.
Having a robust community around it too, that's what helps this one so much. There's you know, you can at certain times of the day you'll hear, you know, half a dozen people on here talking, mostly you know, morning commuters. There's a few guys that are talking back and forth during the day because they work, you know, on the road making stops and that kind of thing, so you'll hear them. And then in the evening time, there's usually always somebody around here, and because of the broad coverage and the robust community, it stays pretty active, and not a lot of them are like that. And talking about the South Georgia thing, yeah, I'm familiar with Savannah, too, and go down there quite a bit, or used to, and yep, the two main repeaters that I programmed in Savannah were exactly like you were talking about. They were all TV broadcast towers, so they had some coverage considering their altitude challenged over.
Well, sounds like you've gotten your hands into some awfully good hardware there. Yeah, I've been enjoying learning a lot about the repeaters that are active in Georgia and programming those in. I've got all of the 460-some-odd repeaters in the state programmed into my radio. So as I travel around the state, I pretty much know what I've had to do is use a region to kind of do the grouping, because you can't have a memory zone or a memory bank for every county. Georgia has 159 counties, count them. So I've generally organized around 12 economic regions. Aries wants 10. I prefer 12.
I need to do more of that because, you know, I've got repeaters programmed for places I go, but I have been out and about, and it'd be nice to have other ones in the pass-through areas, too. Like that trip out to Baton Rouge, I basically head down 85 all the way to Montgomery and then down through the middle of Alabama and kind of detour around Mobile and out that way. So it'd be nice to have those repeaters programmed in, too, for those trips.
Some of these radios have GPS presence and capability, but that whole thing is still a little wonky in that you've got to have all the GPS data programmed into the locationals repeaters for that, all that GPS stuff to work to say, okay, what's close to me? And most of that is either D-Star or some other non-FM mode. I'm still a bit of a traditionalist. I'll use D-Star because it's on the radio, but it's not a big use case for me, and so I'm still, you know, plugging along here with FM and enjoying the heck out of it.
And into some of that, and people were mentioning the light repeater book and stuff usually don't have coordinates, and that's exactly what I've seen is, you know, very few of them will have the actual GPS location for you to plug in for that kind of feature. I don't have anything but a DMR radio that's capable of that, and I haven't even delved into it. I just, you know, do like you were talking about, just kind of split them off into zones, and depending on where I'm at, I'll just dial that zone and scroll through whatever repeater channel I need.
Pull up here a lot. I just figured out what were all the counties that I passed through on 85 going up to Lexington, and then just did a search on all those counties and then grouped them together for a trip, one bank just for the trip. And so I would have a North Carolina bank and a South Carolina bank, and then I, of course, already had Virginia. Georgia, excuse me. But, yeah, we've got a large number of repeaters, but I know the Georgia repeaters all have very accurate GPS information, so that doesn't always ring true from state to state in a repeater book, but I know Georgia is all of those are exact. Some repeater owners, and I understand, are not keen to want to necessarily disclose the exact GPS coordinates, especially if it's in a very remote area for fear of vandalism.
After that, like set former peering agreement type things, they probably don't want to like show their hand because of those types of things either. The other place I've seen tower space that I thought was cool is going down. We've got a family farm outside of Idalia, Georgia, so we go down through kind of eastern Georgia to get to it, and seen the old fire towers, and I don't know if the county's taking them over or if it's, I would think it was the county because this thing had tons of antennas hanging off of it. And there's a fella up in Pickens that they bought a old fire tower for like $1,000 and dismantled it and hauled it up on the top of a mountain in Pickens, and that one does have ham antennas all over it. Or
I know there are a couple that specifically get called out as fire towers. Not a lot, but boy, when I was a kid, we'd be driving, you know, out of Atlanta and going up through through Georgia and South Carolina, North Carolina, and you saw those fire towers everywhere. But yeah, I'd love to have one of those to put a repeater in, no doubt. But yeah, now you just take it where you can get it. But yeah, I've been real happy with learning a lot about the repeaters in Georgia.
And you're still solid, by the way. Yeah, and we had one close to my uncle's house at the farm, and I was always fascinated with them, you know, growing up in Georgia. They were all over the place. And having that one in such close proximity, it's like, oh, man, I want to go climb that. And, yeah, the gentleman I was talking about up here in Pickens County, was over visiting him, and he's like, you want to go over to the repeater site? Sure, we'll check it out. And went over there, and y'all got a fire tower up here. And he's like, yeah, you want to climb to the top? Yeah. So that was a kind of a childhood fantasy I finally got to do at 60 years old.
Very jealous. I would love to do that. I had a friend of mine who worked for the Forestry Service. In fact, now he heads up, at least one time, did head up Forestry Department at UGA. And he used to work up in one of those. In fact, his wife called him Smokey. I mean, he was and those were guys, there were guys who were literally had that job. And I thought, wow, that'd be a pretty neat job if you were into that. And, you know, I enjoy being sociable, but I also kind of like, you know, some time alone. And, boy, that'd be kind of nice. Boring, maybe, but kind of nice.
And, yeah, it'd be a great job for a ham radio operator to kind of stick an antenna outside of the window and see what kind of contacts you could make, too. But, yeah, it blew me away when he told me they bought that thing for like $1,000. The people were just wanting to get it off the property, so they went over and dismantled it piece by piece and remantled it, I guess you'd say, on top of the mountain over there.
Property and location is probably the highest value there. But, yeah, wow, the fact that somebody was willing to let them do that. On the California, I was driving up and down the coast, and there were several, looked like abandoned lighthouses that I passed. And I thought, in fact, I think I saw one with a for sale sign on it. And I'm like, now that would be a great place to, if you were a ham and you wanted to go put some antennas up and go do some cool stuff, get a lighthouse.
KHY sinking back up. Yeah, that would be cool too. I've always fantasized about the whole fire tower thing, and finally got to climb up into one, and the one that I did climb up in, like I said, they had antennas all over that thing. It was a pretty neat experience. Every time I see one, I still see them every now and then, you know, not being used, and I keep wanting to think, I wonder if they'd take $1,000 for that thing if I took it down.
Over near Shelby now. Am I hitting the repeater okay?
I did hear a little bit of scratchiness, but you're still pretty solid.
It's when I start getting so bad that it gets to be painful and difficult to hear. I don't want to, you know, belabor it or make it hard for you, but I'm going up and down here. I mean, going down into a gully here, it seems, a couple of those, but glad I'm still hitting it.
Saying that, I started hearing a little more scratchiness. Well, I've got to clear out anyway. I didn't get home till late, and we're fixing to go have a late dinner. So, good talking to you, Chuck. And by the way, if you're ever through here at 9 p.m., we have a net every night at 9. So, if you're ever through this way at 9 o'clock on any given night, give us a check in.
Awfully kind of you to make that invitation. That just confirms how wonderful the people are in this part of the world. I have a special affinity for the Carolinas. I was born in North Carolina and love traveling through here, and everyone's always so nice. So with that, I'll say 7-3. Thank you. Extend my best to the people who run this wonderful repeater at the club and everybody else, and on the net tonight, tell them you got happy people listening to your repeater. With that, K73 to you. This is KV4VT, Kilo Victor 4, Victor Tango, 85 northbound. Listen to this repeater.
Safe travels. Be careful on the rest of your trip. Good talking to you, and thoroughly enjoyed it. And I will pass along the happiness message. yep, you're getting just a little bit scratchy, but as far up as you are, you're still really solid. Anyway, 73s, have a good night, and we'll catch you later. K4CHY, I'll be clear and listening.